This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Good afternoon, I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network, and we're going to plunge right into the show this week. It's a highly anticipated show. We're talking to experts, painters, artists, and a documentary maker here in Bogota, talking all about the urban art scene. Now, Bogota in recent years, it's been going for, you know, I've been here in 7 years or so, but in recent years has really blossomed as a city for urban art, and people coming to Bogota and people visiting Colombia have always noted this fact. They've always talked about the fact that there's really interesting urban art. So we're talking to three individuals, three very special individuals here who've come in to the studio today. We've got DJ Lou, who's a Colombian urban artist. He's been on the scene for eight years, more or less, and he'll be talking to us about the socio-political aspects of the urban art here in Colombia. Who better to tell us about what's going on in Colombia than a Colombian on this show? Of course, we've got Crisp, who is originally from Australia. He's been here for around 10 years, I think, roughly, or coming back and forth.
Yes, yeah.
Coming back and forth to Bogota for 10 years. He's got a family here and so on, but he's a big figure on the urban art graffiti scene here in Bogota, and we'll be talking to him about some of his paintings and where he paints and so on. And of course, he does a Bogota graffiti tour, so we'll be touching on that too. And we're here with Sophie, who's a documentary maker from the UK, who's over here for 8 weeks in Colombia solely for the reason to film and make a documentary about Bogota's urban art scene. So we've got a real mix of specialists here, and so we're gonna talk to each one in turn about the situation in Colombia, what they do and who they are, and they can explain themselves a little bit to the listeners out there. So we'll start with DJ Lou. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Now, how did you get involved in this urban art scene here in Bogota? What inspired you to start painting the walls?
Okay, I went to art school, and during when I was starting art school, I started noticing that the streets and the urban space was the ideal space for expressing, that a message put on the urban space will get to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Without any filter. I started getting tired of art in galleries, because it's very ciphered, because it's only getting to a small circle of people, so it's elitist. So when I was about in eighth semester, probably 1.5 years to get graduated, mm-hmm. I decided to put my work in the urban space.
And so you're completely dedicated to the urban art scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, since that, I've been doing urban art and getting out of galleries.
So no gallery work for DJ Lou. Very interesting. And we'll come back to you now. And now, Crisp, you've been doing paintings for a long time. You've flown all over the world. Yeah. And you're a hard man to get hold of. One of the most recent paintings I've seen is Julian Assange.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
Okay, well, one of the main things is with urban art, it's a uncensored way of, you know, expressing yourself any way you want. And it's unfiltered on mass media these days. You do get edited quite a bit, and it depends where you're actually accessing your media. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great things, I think, is about urban art. People can express themselves, reflect their opinions, you know, any way they want. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I think the situation with WikiLeaks, etc., is a prime example where, you know, the elite, the powerful, can actually hide the truth and then people who actually reveal these truths, these secrets, are seen as criminals or depicted as criminals. So that piece was pretty much about that, really. Asking the question, where is the freedom of speech when you reveal the truth and you're treated like a criminal?
Very interesting, because now the two of you have spoken, and basically your motivations are to, you're challenging a perception of art. You're challenging a perception of, obviously, the WikiLeaks and the Assange thing. You're challenging the elitism, DJ Lou, as what you've read. What was your motivation, Sophie? How's a young journalism grad come out to Bogota for 8 weeks to make a documentary?
Mine was, you had to choose an idea in a developing country, and I wanted to focus on something to do with South America. Then finally kind of tuned it to Colombia, because I'd spoken to a friend out here who had told me about this amazingly vibrant culture. And having come out as a fresh perspective on the scene, there is just art absolutely everywhere. And I haven't been to a city where you can turn around the corner and there's just a vibrant mural and then another street, and it's all got, each kind of area's got its own different style and different feel to it.
This is very true. And, I've been here for 7 years in this city, living here, and every day I see something new. Every day there's something new. And, of course, that's down to all you guys. Mm-hmm. But we need to talk a bit about the political context in Colombia, because, of course, urban art, it's obviously very aesthetic. It's changing, the situation in a city where, of course, I know, Crisp, on your website, you've got it. It was like taking a boring cement wall and actually making it something more amenable, accessible, friendly, etc. Mm-hmm. But we're in a situation in Colombia. Politically, it's not a stable country. Politically, there is lots going on. So this must be... Let's talk about this. What drives you, DJ Lou, when we're thinking of the politics? What is the context for your art?
Well, as a urban artist, as an artist expressing on the urban space, political and legislation has a lot to do with your work, and it probably dictaminates the way you are acting. So here in Colombia, we are glad to have that instability you're talking about.
Yes.
Because that instability in some kind of ways gives access to a lot of expressions, different expressions. For example, I've noticed, I've traveled mainly here in South America, I've noticed that the political context in some way is revealed in the expressions that you see on the streets. Uh-huh. For example, in Chile, expressions are much more calm and educated and not so politically charged, because, of course, they come from a dictatorship. Uh-huh. So in Argentina, for example, you see a lot of stencil that came from the dictatorship in which it was used in order to find people that was disappeared.
Yeah.
So, of course, the context, the political context, has a lot to do with what is happening. Here in Bogota, we have a lot of expressions, a lot of diversity. Politically, it's unstable. For example, it can change from left wing to right wing. Mm-hmm. Now we're trying, or people are trying to take out the mayor because they think he's not doing a good job. So all that reflects also in urban expressions. Here people can go out. You don't have to be good, bad. I mean, who is saying what is good, what is bad? Everybody can express. They can express doing poster, paste up, bombing, lettering, stencil as we do. Poetic graffiti. So that I think that it's an awesome thing of Colombia, that it has a lot of diversity. It's like a soup filled of many ingredients, and that's what we have to keep and to
promote.
Yeah, we have to.
But if you've just tuned in, we're here with three experts in the Bogota graffiti field and the worldwide graffiti field, and that's the urban art. We're talking all about it. We're talking about the socio-political context. This is Colombia Calling. We'll be coming right back. Don't go away.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
The U.S. government has spoken. It wants higher tax rates, capital controls to keep your money under their control, surveillance to spy on your every email. In short, the government wants to control every aspect of your life and make you their slave. As an internationally minded person, you know keeping everything you own in one country could be disastrous. But how do you get started? Announcing Passport to Freedom. In just 3 days, you'll learn how to escape high taxes and reduce or eliminate your tax burden. How to form an offshore corporation or trust. The best places to get a second passport. The best places to expatriate, and more. This 3-day event will reveal everything you need to know about keeping yourself and your assets safe. Tickets to this event in fabulous Las Vegas are extremely limited, so go to PassportOverseas.com. That's PassportOverseas.com. Seats are extremely limited, so register today and take advantage of a special 50% discount for overseas radio listeners. Don't miss this chance to see offshore and expat experts like Joel Nagel, Bobby Casey, Jake DeSillis, Pete Sisko, Andrew Henderson, and more. Go to OverseasPassport.com now and reserve your ticket before the government shuts this opportunity down.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the urban art scene in Bogota, Colombia. We're here with 3 experts on this art mode. We've got DJ Lou, a Colombian graffiti artist. We've got Crisp, who's from Australia, who's an urban art painter. And we've got Sophie, a journalism graduate from the UK, out here making a documentary on the urban art scene. Now, we've been talking about, you know, the perceptions of the politics. DJ Lou finished off the last segment talking about and how we need to promote and how we need to get the message across. Crisp, we've talked about your Julian Assange. I've seen things that you've done on the free trade agreements. Yep. I mean, you really are, you're up against it. You know, you're fighting against the current here.
Well, yeah, but and also as an, being a foreigner, I try not to delve too much into the internal politics because, historically I don't know a huge amount about it, but I like to bring some, an international angle to that. That's why I'm, doing stuff on WikiLeaks. We're going to do some stuff on Manning and Snowden as coming up, just to alert you.
Okay, very good.
So, I'm a foreigner. I'm giving an outside view of what's going on here. And that's one of the reasons why I started the tour that I do as well. Because one thing that I find most people coming to this city is, it's, as you were saying earlier, everyone notices it as soon as they come to the city. It's so prolific. It's everywhere. It's not just one section of the city, like you get in a lot of other cities. It's completely infuses every part of the city. And people want to know why it's happening, who's doing it, and, the messages behind it as well.
Tell us a little bit, very quickly, about the graffiti tour. Where does it start? How can people find out about it?
I only show a small section, so it's in pretty much central Bogota, Candelaria, and a bit of central Bogota. It goes for 2.5 hours. It's a walking tour. It's on donation, so people pay what they think it's actually worth. I do have to and it goes every Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday from 10 to about 12:30. And yeah, anyone can come. We've got a website, bogotagraffiti.com. You just sign on there, put your email address. Okay. We'll send you all the information. Yeah, and that's basically it.
Perfect.
It's an interesting thing because I met a guy earlier and I've been kind of pitching the tour a little bit today because people are very interested in who's behind the art. And I think that's a key thing. When I've been interviewing people this week for potential people to have in the documentary, a few of the artists have said we don't want to show our faces because it's more about the wall. A lot of people internationally are thinking, who's done the wall, what's their story, what's the history? Mm-hmm. So that's why the tour's good, because it gives a bit of context.
Yeah, a bit of background.
I think it's very important, and it's becoming, you know, an important item on any sort of tourist's itinerary to Bogota. I mean, it's very cool. I mean, it's a very up-to-date, very contemporary form of bringing people in and educating them about what's going on. Now, DJ Lou, you've been involved recently in quite a lot of artwork to do with the National Agrarian Strike. I've seen it's been pointed out to me, some of the work you've done about the farmers have been on strike. You've always been influenced by what's going on in Colombia.
Sure.
Has this created problems for you as an artist, as an individual?
No, not good. not big trouble.
I mean,
for example, has happened to me that some of my work has been taken for using in social movements or inclusively by the guerrilla, you know, mm-hmm. by the guerrilla, they to use in their diary or in their magazines. Mm-hmm. But then again, also the government has taken my images and using them.
Okay, so both sides have used your imagery.
That's also the good thing about my work, that mm-hmm. I think that is not that direct, but it's symbolic.
Yeah.
It works through icons and symbolic and semiotic language, so it can be seen in a pretty wide angle. It doesn't have to be that direct.
Yeah.
Even though I am talking about political situations that involves all of us.
Okay. Well, now, to both of you artists out there, how do you choose these walls? Where do you decide to put the paintings?
Well, personally, there's a very unique situation here in Bogota.
Yeah.
Okay. It's tolerated to a higher degree uh-huh. than most of the cities I've ever lived in or travelled through. So that helps a lot. So legally, you can get away with it a lot more. There's still, you know, ramifications if you do get caught by the wrong police officers.
Yes.
But generally, usually you can get both. You can get illegal and you can get sort of legal, I suppose. So personally, through choosing walls, I walk, you know, on buses, on transport, taxis, I look out for walls that I think are nice and I'd like to paint on them. Then if I get a chance, I'll actually ask if I can find the owner, if it's a car park or mm-hmm. a private residence, etc., and try to get permission. Sometimes if I can't find them, I'll hit the wall usually on a Sunday because people aren't around, so they can get away with it. But yeah, it varies. It really depends. It's very site specific. It depends on the actual wall itself.
But it's not like in the case of having the Julian Assange or the striking farmer. Are you putting it in a place where it's going to be seen by the right people?
I think a lot of time, you do want to get as much exposure as possible.
Of course.
People like to, you know, paint. Artists, urban artists, tend to like to paint on walls, mm-hmm. but they're going to get the most traffic.
Of course.
You know, pedestrians and transport. Mm-hmm. I think some artists do special site-specific works where they might do something political right near a government building. Generally, I don't do that. I, you know, find a wall and just go for it.
All right, very good answer.
It will be appropriate to state that Bogota has a very specific infrastructure.
Yes.
So it's not like many places, for example, in Europe, which are cities that have been there for 20th centuries, so their infrastructure is already like done, you know? It's like they are done, nothing can be put in, nothing can be taken out.
Yeah.
Here in Bogota, it's a city that is still like in construction, it's under construction, it's always evolving, so we have a lot of no spaces or no places. Those places that are like probably under a legislation which doesn't allow them to do anything in that lot, or a parking lot which is not in use, or simple houses that they are waiting for them to get ruined in order to build some taller building over there. So that makes the city a special place in order to do graffiti or urban art, because you can do it in a lot of places.
So we're taking the bureaucratic nightmares of Colombia, and it's a benefit to the graffiti.
Yeah, it's really unique. You've got that mix of tolerance as well as loads of spaces and walls to paint on. That's why you get such a high quality works, and two, it's so prolific as well.
And so, Sophie, whereabouts, when we've been talking to the artists a bit, when we talk to you, where are you going to film? Because there's so many places to film.
Very, very difficult, yeah. And everyone you speak to has got a different story and a different perspective. And as a kind of fresh outlook on the scene, I'm kind of absorbing all of this new stuff. Every street, as I said earlier, has got a mural on it or something that's kind of thought-provoking. But a key part of the documentary that I'm thinking about is how general people are viewing this art. Because you hear a lot from artists, and I want to hear, because it is art done by the people, for the people, it's outside of a gallery, what are local people on the street thinking about it? And I did speak to a few people, and they'd done a mural, and they said when they arrived there were kind of rubbish everywhere, human feces, people sleeping in the street, and as they gradually started to clear it out, and it basically injected a bit of life into the area and a bit more soul and character, and in a sense it kind of gives people a bit of pride in their space if it's given kind of a facelift,
because it's a facelift.
Here I think what you're saying, Sophie, I think it's very interesting, because I think that there is something paradoxical. For example, if we look back at New York in the 70s and 80s when the graffiti started, they argued that where graffiti was placed, it became more dangerous, more ruined.
Yeah.
Here it's the opposite, you know?
Yeah.
Here we have places that have been recovered through mural art and urban art.
Well, that's what I've kind of seen as the beautiful thing here in Colombia. It's the ability to heighten and make it.
And I think that's one of the things here. I don't think graffiti has the same connection as in North American cities, like with gang culture. Mm-hmm. Here it's quite separate. You know, the cartels are quite separate to what's going on in the graffiti or urban art culture. Mm-hmm. I think it's the people's perspective of street art here is very different to many other cities in the world.
So you're well received on the most part when you're painting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's subjective as well.
Of course.
It depends if personally people like your work or not.
Yeah, age-wise as well. I think a lot of people I've spoken to, because I've spoken to some people in the streets as well, and they're saying, a few people, it's how you define, again, the whole graffiti side of things. A few people say, oh, it's vandalism, but if it's different perspectives.
I've always think that it has to do with an attitude also.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you're going out and knowing that you're going to do something nice and not putting yourself that tag of vandalizing, and you're talking to people, and if somebody comes out, you can talk to them and explain them what you're gonna do, and that just breaks the barrier.
Yeah.
If you're covering yourself and running, that just puts a tag on you which says you're a vandal, you're vandalizing my place.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we're coming to the end of this section. We'll be coming right back. Don't go away. We're talking about the urban art scene here with experts in Bogota. Very interesting indeed.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is 90 Seconds with Joel Nagle on the Overseas Radio Network.
I have over $250,000 in assets I'd like to protect. Could you explain what an APT is?
Sure. An APT is short for an Asset Protection Trust. And this is quite simply the Cadillac of all asset protection strategies.
So what exactly does this Asset Protection Trust do for me?
It legally moves assets out of your personal name to a separate legal person. And when I say legal person, a juridical person, a person created by the contract, the trust itself, not a natural person. And this juridical person can simply not be sued in U.S. courts.
Now, considering that I've added this extra layer of protection to my assets through this APT, are there any other financial maneuvers or dealings that I can do through the APT as opposed to acting on my own behalf?
The Asset Protection Trust is also the foundational element to create this foreign person to make investments that are closed to U.S. investors, such as hedge funds, foreign stocks, and various other non-SEC registered investment products. So there's a lot of reasons from an asset protection and from an investment standpoint that folks want to have an asset protection trust, or APT for short.
For more information on the 15 global strategies to protect your wealth, visit NagelLaw.com. That's NagelLaw.com.
This is Kathleen Petticord and Leif Simon with the Live and Invest Overseas Minute on the Overseas Radio Network. Are you looking to rent overseas? Before you log online, here are some tips that can save you a lot of time and help ensure that you get the best deal possible on your rental wherever in the world you're looking to live.
So finding an apartment to rent overseas should be done at the local level. Looking on the internet, you're going to find English advertisements that are easier to find a rental for you, but those are going to be priced for the foreign market. To get to the local market, you want to get your feet on the ground and take a look.
Exactly. To get a good deal, you've got to shop beyond the internet market. And to do that, you've got to have your feet on the ground, either yours or those of a reliable local contact you trust. And you should enlist the help of an attorney to review the rental contract.
Also, you need to keep in mind that the local contract needs to be in the local language to be legal. So you'll want an English language translation, but you're going to have to sign a local language contract, especially in the Latin American countries.
For more information on making the leap overseas, visit us online at liveandinvestoverseas.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
We're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Rich McCall. We're talking to Chris, DJ Lou, and Sophie, experts in the urban art field here in Bogota. We've been touching on everything. I mean, really, we're talking about the socio-political situation in Colombia. We're talking about where to paint, why to paint, what the urban art scene is doing for this city and why Bogota is such a mecca, is a mecca for this kind of art. Everyone who comes here notices it. Everyone who comes here takes a photo of it, mentions it. And of course, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Chris's Bogota graffiti tour is incredibly successful. So we're just going to keep on delving into the whole issue of the urban art scene here. Now, when you arrive in Bogota, because you come down, you know, you've come through your turbulence over the Altiplano, as you're bobbling down, obviously, because it's always dreadful weather as you land in. I don't know, it's about thermals. Someone talks about thermals. Anyway, it's always that turn. You get onto the Avenida El Dorado, the 26th. That's the one that leads right from the airport to the center of town. This is the city's biggest canvas right now. What's going on? Who's behind this? Who can tell me about the Carrera Avenida 26?
Okay, Avenida 26 was it's an avenue that's been there since the 1940s, 1950s. It was made during Rojas Pinilla political time. And at the beginning, it was very criticized because it was too big for the city. But then it was optimal because it's as you said, it's a way that connects the airport with the city. It goes right to the center of the city, downtown financial center. Like 4 years ago, that street came under a renewal because it was going to hold the Transmilenio system, which is the massive transportation system of the city. So as always, that construction wasn't well done, and they didn't think in the spaces, not only the highway, but the spaces around it. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of leftover building walls which weren't taken care of, so that space is not nice to the city, and it could be easily renewed by doing mural interventions over there. So at the beginning, people just start doing interventions over there. The city council noticed that, so they started to promote some events in order to visibilize the practice of graffiti, and in some way in order to legalize it or make a legislation on it. So 6 months ago, they took out a contest in order to do four big mural walls bigger than 500 square meters.
Wow.
That was by a contest, as I said, and you have to present like a curriculum vitae saying that you've been doing this for so many years. It has to be presented under the collective form. You couldn't do it as a one man because it's too big. So we, as Bogota Street Art, I work with a group called Bogota Street Art, we presented into that contest, and we were one of the winners. So we made that intervention. It has been really well seen by the people. Mm-hmm. People have liked that intervention a lot. That was like the legal intervention. Mm-hmm. The state gave us some money in order to do it.
Wow.
So the result was really nice. Then that event, which was kind of legal, led to a lot of other interventions that are informal, mm-hmm. were not under the event, mm-hmm. But a lot of people started painting over there. So it just like became one, all of a sudden became like a legal space for doing graffiti, not only paid by the mayor, but also in an informal way. And now over there, you can see a lot of urban expressions, even the Justin Bieber graffiti.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate reality. You couldn't help yourself, could you? I'm going to have to mention Justin Bieber, but we're going to leave him a little bit later.
He didn't do it.
Well, he just did some like.
Apparently, he didn't even do it.
No.
Oh. No.
Well, there is film of him doing it. Yeah. I don't know about the quality, and also it is very controversial, and there has been a lot of media.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to touch
it. We'll leave it a bit later.
Don't give everything away.
Yeah, we can't give it away. So this is really interesting because I had no idea. I knew there was a contest. I didn't know you had to come in as like a consortium, and you had to come. But obviously, the walls are so big. I didn't know they were paying. You know, they're giving you some money towards your costs. Sure. I mean, this has got to be unusual.
Sure.
As a graffiti artist, as an urban artist. I don't know.
I think you find out, like, worldwide, it's a very popular movement. I think it's probably one of the biggest art movements, you know, modern art movements at the moment. So you are getting loads of urban art festivals, events, that councils and galleries are forming. And in Bogota, it's a very dynamic, active scene. So nearly every week or every second week, there's something going on, even if it's a collective, you know, doing prints for T-shirts or, you know, live painting with a DJ. There's always something going on. It's becoming more of a sort of legitimized way of producing it. And I suppose it's more important also in other cities in the world where it is highly illegal.
Yeah.
If you don't get permission and organise these events, people are going to get, you know, prosecuted.
Of course.
And in trouble, because it happens anyway.
You're sending out a warning there to some listeners.
But also, you know, then you've got access to, if you're getting money from councils, etc., because you've got to realise that a lot of us are doing this for free, off our own back. We're paying for the paint, we're, you know, our own materials, etc. So if you are getting funding from a different organisation, you can actually invest in, you know, cherry pickers, you know, scaffolding, and so you can get bigger, pay for more higher quality paints, etc. So, you know, it's a win-win situation for both the artists and the actual city itself.
Excellent. And of course, it was such a desolate kind of highway, the Avenida El Dorado, the 26th. I mean, this is what we're talking about, where we were talking about originally. It was just, you know, running past the Central Cemetery, then sort of through these sort of no man's land areas, very grey, as you said, and then like bodegas and big, you know, warehouses for, you know, sort of home center type places, mm-hmm. or Walmarts or whatever, you name it. So it's one of those sort of places. But tell me, guys, what are you painting down there? What if we were to pass now, or if someone's going to be listening to this show and then it's going to drive down to the airport shortly. What is your what have you done down there? What is your artwork, DJ?
Okay, the main artwork that I have in Calle 26 is the one that we were talking about,
uh-huh.
that was commissioned by the mayor, by the city. It's a mural that has 600 square meters. It was made by the four of us are the ones of Bogota Street Art.
Okay.
We have like a collective group. It's called Bogota Street Art, and it's conformed by four artists. So the four of us worked in that mural. And we also had to invite some other people from other places because it was in the contest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the important things to take in account was to bring somebody from abroad in order to open eyes of people doing that practice here of what other people were doing in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought three guys from Peru, Entes Pésimo and Elliot Tupac.
Uh-huh.
We painted with them. This wall specifically that I'm talking about, it's a wall that has to do with territory and mm-hmm. the correct use of resources.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to to tell people to use the landing and in a better way in order to make it renewable, uh-huh. and not to depend so much in combustive resources, in oil, and also in mining, because now here in Colombia we're also having big problem with mining, because there's a lot of companies coming here and extracting the minerals without taking care of the land and the people and society in those towns, which are mainly most of the time depressed. So was what we did. I personally did two big corpses, skeletons of dinosaurs, uh-huh. which we all know that oil comes from the skeleton mm-hmm. of dinosaurs, with some of my pictograms, my symbolism, and that's it. You can see it in the Calle 26 with Carrera 22.
Ah, so it's quite close in. I don't know, Chris, you haven't paid down there yet.
No, I live quite far up north, so I do tend to paint further up north. I will go down there at some point, but this is the thing, there's so many walls that you can actually paint on, so I'm not in any rush to get down there. And because, you know, carrying materials down there, I'm a bit lazy when it comes to I'll paint close to where I live.
Okay.
It's a bit of a habitual thing. But it's definitely a street now that's becoming, you know, quite iconic for painting. And every time I pass by I want to paint there. Mm. But, you know, that's the beauty of this city. You don't have to paint in certain spots. Mm. It's an open city in regards to that.
Okay, Sophie, tell me about your documentary. Tell me all about it, and what's it going to be based on? What is the focus?
It has been very tricky because, as we've discussed, there is all sorts of stuff going on. I remember DJ Lee telling me last week there's 2,000-3,000 people involved in the urban art scene. So it's very difficult. Everyone you speak to, as I said, have got different perspectives. So to narrow down an angle has been hard, but I'm kind of doing it on. The initial thing was to challenge perceptions of people abroad, the way they see Colombia, to introduce them to this vibrant scene that's happening, but also to challenge perceptions of local people to artists. It's kind of challenging everything and just kind of seeing what message is getting out there, if any message, the way society connects to the art. The ability of art to regenerate a place and to kind of provide a sense of community. I know run down areas that can give them a sense of identity and help them to respect.
Yeah.
That's an important point, because I think this sort of documentary will be great because it's showing a part of Bogota's culture.
Yeah.
And it's a part of Bogota's culture that sometimes mainstream media have sort of certain perceptions about, which can be negative, or, you know, they doesn't show the full extent of that culture. So I think it's a very good idea, really, to open up and show the world internationally, you know, this side of the city.
Very important.
So you're hearing from a wide variety of people, whereas certain documentaries on graffiti, you just hear from the artist, and it's kind of narrows the focus of it. And also you narrow your audience if you're just talking about methods as well. It kind of needs a bit of contextual reference.
Sure. We were talking with Sophie about that, because most of the time when people come here to do a research on graffiti, they are only focusing on the artist and what he's doing. So it's interesting that she's trying to put it in a wider context and asking people, what do they think about those interventions? How is people and society receiving that intervention?
Mm. Yeah, to what extent are they connecting?
Because that's one of the main reasons why artists are doing it, is to show something to the public. So it's a great point to point.
We'll come back to this point. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire.
You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McColl, and we've been talking about the urban art scene here in Bogota and how it's challenging perceptions and how it's regenerating sections of the city. You know, it's the paradox of we've said the paradox of New York in the 70s to Bogota in the 2010s, I guess we call it now. I don't know. But yeah, where your real estate value does not dip where there's graffiti in Bogota. In fact, it increases because it's an artwork. It's an expression. And we've been talking to DJ Lou, one of the old school urban artists here from Bogota, part of a collective, and of Crisp, an Australian who's resident here, who's been, been on the scene for quite some time, and Sophie, a documentary maker. We were talking about a few things, Sophie, and you were talking about how you want to challenge people. What have been your challenges making this documentary?
There's a lot of challenges in terms of narrowing locations and then narrowing down the sorts of things you want to show to people, because there is such a great thriving scene here, mm-hmm, that I want to be able to give that across, and because of time limits, and you can't do everything, so you have to have a focal point. And there's a lot of great speakers and a lot of passionate artists, so there's been quite a few challenges. I've had challenges in terms of I'm trying to kind of get police, bit of security, and there's been challenges in terms of, because of the law, the way people in authority want to speak to you, and people are very cautious with the media. But as independent media, and hopefully exposing a good side of the scene, I'm not touching on any of the, you know, negative, boring stereotypes that we've seen in the past. So hopefully, that's the other thing, is trying to please. We shouldn't be trying to please, but it's trying to expose and give off the best message.
Well, you give off a good best message, but you're also telling the truth, but you can tell it in a way that it's acceptable to both, you know, those involved and those seeing it from outside, you know, to motivate a change, you know. Okay, so we're going to move on. We've got to move on a bit. That's very interesting. It's very interesting because we're all going to watch the documentary, and you're going to send us all the links, and you're going to get in
touch. That's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all involved at some level.
We've got to be careful.
Yeah, and we'll want to know, and we'll want to promote and everything like that. And so, you know, obviously people, listeners, check back on the Facebook site, and because it will be up there when you've got it out.
It will be one day.
So
after
listen,
the aguardente here.
Yes, aguardente. A little groggy head in the morning. Now, on the news the other day, I saw on the news a group of urban artists who go around painting around the sort of ruts and potholes in the streets in Bogota to highlight, you know, lots of, I guess, the disrepair, or to highlight, maybe you'd see it more clearly when you're in your car so you don't, you know, break your axle. Who are these people? Are you involved, DJ Lou?
No.
I actually originally started in Russia.
Oh, really?
In Moscow.
I did not
A few years ago, there were some guys, because they were always, the council was saying that they were going to repair these roads.
Yeah.
each election. They, you know, promised that they'd do it. Each time the new mayors came in, nothing would be done.
Yep.
So there was some artists actually in some part of Moscow or some part of Russia, sorry, where some artists just thought, let's actually highlight these things. So they started actually to do faces of the politicians, with the holes being their mouths or their nostrils, etc., or their ear, etc. And, you know, it became massive in the newspapers and local media, and, you know, it made, you know, the awareness rose.
Sure.
And then the next day, ironically, the next day or the next week, they actually would go and clean up the graffiti and still leave the holes.
not fill in the holes, yeah.
I think the holes did get eventually filled in, but I think it may have, the influence came from that. Ah. I did see a news article about that here, but I don't know actually who the particular artists are.
No, because I saw it on the mainstream news here, and I thought that was very interesting, and then I was walking down nearby, and I've seen the sort of video games that they placed on the zebra crossing on the 72nd, which I thought was great, you know, sort of space invaders, which in truth, when I cross the road here at a zebra crossing, I feel like I'm the bug being shot at, you know, by the moving cars.
So,
it's true. So I just wondered if anyone knew about that, which I think is really important and it's really cool. So, but anyway, we're talking about, I've moved on to the nighttime. Now, something happened. Something happened. We have to address it. A young man, Canadian young man, about the name of Justin Bieber, who some of you may have heard of, who I wasn't really aware of before this.
Giving him exposure again.
I know.
Apparently,
he was caught tagging, graffitiing parts of the 26th, of the Avenida El Dorado, after his concert in Bogota. Was he invited, or did he just go? Let's just kill this story for once. What happened, DJ Lou? Your best place. Just let's finish this.
Well, I don't know really what happened because I wasn't there. But what I've heard and what I've looked at in the media and by internet and videos that have been hung out is that he came and he wanted to taste two of the most important things of Bogota: hookers and graffiti.
Oh,
so
man.
He got caught doing a graffiti and taking some hookers out of the strip club. I really don't care. I mean, he can do it. I mean, he's more than 18 years old, and he can do it if he wants. The problem is that it's Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
So it's not that easy to go on scene, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So the problem is that he did it, and all the media start going on him and saying that it's stupid because police here go after Colombian and Bogotanian artists, but not after him. And the media showed that he was with these police cars that were like escorting him in order to do graffiti. But you know, all the media is always like distorting things.
Yeah,
so and people are also making the most of some news that I think that is not that important.
Yeah.
So I think that the problem over there is not Justin Bieber doing a graffiti. He can do it if he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is the media that is always showing what they want. So they started saying, okay, it's stupid that Justin Bieber got some escorts and bodyguards in order to do a graffiti, but the people from Bogota will get caught. I don't think that people here in Bogota get caught. I've been doing graffiti for 8 years and I haven't get caught.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing it and they aren't getting caught, so I don't think it's that radical. I don't think the policemen were escorting him in order to do a graffiti. They were escorting him since he got in the airport of Colombia, to protect him since he got here. So I don't see that as a very important issue. I just think that the media, as always, is distorting things.
Okay, so
I think the other thing is also, though, from talking to artists, they've been saying that because Calle 26 is kind of your Colombian territory.
Yeah, I think that's stupid. I mean,
not, yeah.
If there is a space and there wasn't a attack before him, or yeah. I mean, the space was free. It wasn't that he was putting over some national artist's work.
Yeah.
No, he just came. It was a space which hasn't been painted, and he painted. It was horrible. Okay, we don't matter if it's horrible, but he's got his right. just as everybody do. The problem is that here people want the urban national artist to do it and not the international, and they say, okay, the international are having it better because it's Justin Bieber and he's being escorted. Yeah. But I think that's
I've even heard perceptions that just because he was a foreigner.
Yeah.
But as a foreign artist here, you know, I've been able to paint just as much as the locals.
You're not going with 10 bodyguards. I'm not famous.
Yeah.
That's the difference, yeah.
Well, the thing is, no one owns the city, and this is what a lot of the stuff is. It's kind of challenging. No one owns a building. No one owns a city.
I think it's more the fact that it's the media blown it out of proportion.
Because it's him.
And it's a good story.
It's a good story.
And of course, he did it the other day in Sao Paulo. The hookers and the painting.
Okay.
He got bottled.
Oh yeah, they threw a bottle and it knocked the microphone. It knocked the microphone out of his hand.
Yeah.
And he left the stage early. It was brilliant. So now we are all aware of who Justin Bieber is, who I did not need to know who it was in my lifetime, but that's that. So that's fine. And I don't think Mayor Gustavo Petro said, if he hadn't been with the police and had something happened to him, we'd be having the press conference for something else.
Exactly.
And that's the most sensible thing to have been said.
Sure.
You know, love him or hate him, he says the most sensible things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's the truth. So anyway, I want to, you know, as we're winding down the show, we've only got a few minutes left, but I want to talk quickly about, have you got any anecdotes, any amusing anecdotes about, or when you've been filming here, or when you've been painting, or say, you know, anything happened that's been particularly curious, you know? I don't know. Any one of you want to jump in with this?
Okay, yes. Of course, there is some nice situations that we've been through when we've been painting. Most of them has been good situations. That's what I have to state, that 90% of the times the situations are good.
Yeah.
Most of the time people start noticing that you're doing something and they got involved in it. They start coming and asking you what you're gonna do. Then after that they start asking you why do you do this, if you get paid for doing that. So as soon as you tell them you're not being paid, they are like, oh no, how come you're doing that without being paid? So they take a juice out for you or some coffee.
Very nice.
Or some bread. Because they think that you don't have your... I mean, if he's painting this out of his own pocket, how is he going to eat? So that's good.
Yeah.
One of the worst experiences I had, and it's only been once, I was bombing at night, here, close here. This is downtown, center of Bogota. I was bombing at night with one friend, and all of a sudden, somebody grabbed me by the back
uh-huh.
with a knife, a big butcher knife. It was a guy that lived in one of the houses that I just bombed, and he was really pissed off. He told me that he was gonna kill me, that all the neighborhood was all just scratched and vandalized. I was just trying to explain him that it wasn't just my fault. At the end, he took three cans that I had. He just took the cans from me and it ended up there, but it was a pretty bad night.
Yeah.
And one of the best situations that I had was one time that I was putting some pay stubs and stickers, and the police caught me, and they were thinking that those stickers were politically charged and that they were like kind of terrorist advertisement or something that has to do with illegal groups.
Yeah.
So they took me to the police station. I was over there like for 2 hours. At the beginning, I entered there like a terrorist. But they called the people in charge of intelligence in police. It's called the DIPOL. So the guy came, it was a detective, it wasn't dressed like a policeman, he was a detective, so he was very clever, we suppose that. So he started looking at all the designs, he took like 15 minutes or half an hour to analyze them, and all of a sudden he comes to me and he says, okay, I assume you are an artist, you're not a terrorist, this sticker is talking about this. He explained all of them to me, he gave me the hand and he says, okay, it's perfect, that's a work that for the peace of Colombia, we're working for the same objective, so go with God.
That's
so I entered like a terrorist and I went out like a hero. Like a hero.
Very good. Very good indeed.
In terms of me, like I've had some classic situations with the police. We know here it's quite tolerated, but I've had, you know, and hopefully this won't get any police in trouble, but I've had police actually come up to me and stop me and they'll actually say, look, I like what you're doing,
but I can't.
Come back after 6 o'clock and then you can finish it off.
Sure,
I've had one point when the police come up, an old granny's walked past and said, you know, F off and please catch some real criminals.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, wow. Because, you know, it was in a neighbourhood, and she said, look, there's robbers, there's, you know, drug dealers here. Why are you harassing and wasting your time harassing this guy who's painting a wall?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really great here. You get a very positive feedback from the community itself.
Excellent. So we're going to wind down now. And I'd like to say thank you very much to Sophie, making a documentary, which will be found at challengingperceptions.com in the future. thank you very much, Sophie, for your time. Crisp, and you can see his website at crisp@crispstreetart.com. So you can find it, and I know that's all there, and the Bogota graffiti tours as well. And of course, DJ Lou, you know, the celebrity amongst the group here, the Colombian. And you can see his work at a Flickr account. So flickr.com, Juega Siempre. And that's JUEGASIEMPRE.com.
Which translates, play always.
Play always. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being here. I've been your host, Richard McColl. This is Colombia.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.